This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
How are things with you?
I am chipper this morning. I'm back from physical therapy and then I walked for 30 minutes. So I'm like awake.
Yeah, I'm fired up, ready to go. I've had my 16 cups of coffee.
So awesome.
I'm going to rock and roll. Hey, we've got some fun things to talk about today. Kind of a quick rundown. We're going to talk first. The question of the week was around employee rewards and recognition. I think that's a great topic. So that was the first thing. We're going to talk about help desk KPIs, the Microsoft partner program. Is it worth it? And then some do's and don'ts around that. And then also some supply chain challenges and price increases. We're going to talk about some alternative solutions for MSPs there as well. So lots to chat about. And so you ready to get started?
I'm ready. So it sounds like we're ending on a downer, though, with that price increase stuff, but let's go for it.
Yeah, I think that's actually going to be a happy ending because there's some ideas around that. So, you know, I think that there were some good discussions and some groups that I was part of. So I'll share that with everybody. All right. So the question of the week is, what is the best ways to reward and recognize your employees? So, Amy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is you need to do it. I know a lot of companies don't.
Right.
So that's step one, start doing something. There's a couple of really easy ways to get started. You know, one of the things that I did was in Microsoft Teams, which is where we had our water cooler chat, there was an app called Praise. It's free. So we added Praise to that chat. And then You could call this up and it basically just made a little graphic and a place for you to type something nice about one of your colleagues or thank them for helping you out on a project. You got to start there at least.
Yep.
Then there's an app that one of my mastermind people uses and absolutely loves called Bonusly. And you can get into that for free too for up to 8 users, which is really cool. So what Bonusly does is it lets your employees bonus each other. So instead of, you know, in Praise, they're just saying, hey, thanks a lot for helping me out with that client today. In this one, they can be like, hey, thanks a lot for helping me with that client today. Here's a box of M&Ms, right?
Yep.
and here's 10 bucks or here's $5 Starbucks card or the employer gets to decide how much money gets assigned to each employee.
Mm-hmm.
And then from their catalog, you just pick the things that they can give their little bonuses with. So it's kind of cool.
I love it. Yeah. Good ideas. Yeah. I've got some clients using that Bonusly as well. And that's a great program. I haven't heard of Praise, but sounds, you know, free and simple. But I completely agree 100%. An employee recognition program to me is a mandatory thing. I think you should have some type of bonus structure that's separate around different people's contributions to the company. That's important. But outside of that, without getting into the weeds there, I think just verbal recognition. Our program, when I was running my company, we did a lot of work for the government. We're in San Diego and we had a lot of DOD clients. And so a lot of our engineers specifically were on site all the time. So we actually had official badges. And on the back of the badges, we had our 7 core values. And when any employee would see another employee do something that demonstrated any of those 7 core values, they would actually either email or write on the whiteboard in the kitchen, the lunchroom, they would write down, you know, James did this. And just real quick, and then at the end of the month at our all hands meeting, for each time that you had something listed on the board or something submitted, our HR manager basically would put all of those in a hat. And, you know, if Amy had 3 and James had 2, Amy would have, you know, more chances than I would to win something. And then it was kind of like a little raffle, but we had all sorts of prizes that we would give out. And most of it was around vendor swag, because we always had that going on. But I just think it's a fun way to recognize your employees for doing good things. And just that verbal recognition in front of people's peers, I think can go a long way.
Yeah. The other thing I would do is if a client messaged me with a compliment about one of our staff, I'd blast everybody with it.
Yep.
look what our client said about James, you know, and that you just have to let people know that they're doing a good job, yeah. Right? It's not enough to get your paycheck. At the end of the day, you want to feel good about the place you work in.
Yeah.
That, you know, that recognition, you don't have to wait for that raise to get your recognition. It's, you know, it's the day-to-day stuff that really matters to people.
Yeah. Make it public in the office. Make it public. I think that's that employee recognition. When somebody does something good, everybody should hear about it. All right. So our next topic was really around help desk KPIs. So I was in an online forum and we were, there was a discussion going back and forth about what are the best help desk KPIs. What comes to mind when you think of KPIs for a help desk?
How much I hate them. I hate help desk KPIs because I often feel that the help desk KPIs are measuring the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear them from the RMM vendors, it's like, you know, number of tickets closed, time to close ticket. It's like, that's what your job is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe those KPIs tell you if somebody is slacking, or maybe it doesn't, because I was never a big fan of having my staff close tickets really fast. Huh. I wanted them to have conversations with clients. So if I was measuring them on time to close ticket, they'd probably, you know, be pretty lousy.
Yeah.
Because you're having a great conversation with a client that's going to make more work for us in the future. Doing a little bit of that advising rather than just like, okay, your password's changed, bye, right? Next ticket.
Amy, that's so important. Did you train your staff to have conversations? Because with some people, that's not natural. But can you elaborate a little bit more on just having a conversation, you know, human being to human being from your staff to your customers? I think that's super important.
Yeah. So, you know, on the help desk, what I encourage them to do is always ask why, right? What are you trying to do, right? You can solve your problem while you're hearing them talk about their job, right? What it is they're trying to do, how they're going about it. And then that way, if you see like, oh, you know, there's an easier way to do this. You could just do this through two clicks instead of the way that you just described that takes you four steps to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, teaching them something new in Word or Excel or whatever it is they're trying to do. And just be human on the line. That was the big thing. Like, yeah. What is it, you know? Oh, yeah, I can fix that for you. What are you working on? You know, simple conversation starters like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so important. That's so important. So love that. From the KPI standpoint, I was always a numbers junkie from a leadership standpoint. We had good dashboards in place. Some of the popular ones for me, I liked watching total tickets open. And then, you know, to me, the most important one was the billable utilization. We called it realization, but some people just call it utilization. And, I'm not talking about admin time or lunch time. You know, I think everybody should log 100% of their time. I wanted to know how much they were billing and billing a project, billing a managed service contract. And we would watch those things, but the billable utilization was one of the more important ones. For the total team and then for the individuals. Redos was a different one. Not everybody has that, but I liked looking at that type of work. So you could isolate training challenges or someone who's, you know, maybe the ticket was assigned to the wrong person and now we're redoing it all over again because they did it wrong. So things like that. But I've got a sheet. If anybody's interested, it's two pages. It's KPIs for different departments and there's a lot on sales and marketing. There's a lot on finance and there's tons on the technical side on the service desk.
Yeah. The total tickets open That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because when I saw a lot of tickets being opened, I would say, not that, oh my gosh, we need to get some more people, I need to close tickets faster. I would say, why are my clients opening so many tickets?
Right.
And then I would start to look at what these tickets are being opened about, and then what sort of training I need to do with my staff, and also, you know, with the clients to get them to open fewer tickets.
Yeah.
Because the client opening tickets, that's not actually good for us. You know, that means that they have a problem that raised up to the level that they said, okay, I got to call these guys about this. This is ridiculous, right? So too many tickets means your client's frustrated. Like every time you talk to them on the phone, they have an open ticket. They're not happy people right off the bat.
Yep, exactly.
And the way to get them to be happy is to train your employees so that they don't, or train their employees so they don't have to open as many tickets with you.
The SMB Online Conference is June 23rd through 25th, and registration is open now. 3 days of practitioner-focused sessions, pricing, M&A, AI, private equity, service delivery. No vendor speakers, no fluff. The theme is profitable is enough. If that resonates, you should be there. Small Biz Thoughts community members get in free. Everyone else, $399 at smbonlineconference.com.
Another topic that we had, this one, I saw there's two different camps on this, and the topic really was the Microsoft Partner Program, is it worth it? And along with that, part two of the question was, you know, where or how do I buy my licenses for my clients? You know, my Microsoft licenses. So, Amy, I know you're Microsoft MVP for more years than I have fingers and toes. So what are your, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the Microsoft Partner Program?
To be honest, I haven't kept up in the last few years in the Microsoft Partner Program. I know they've made a lot of changes.
Yeah.
Toward the end of owning my own MSP, I was getting a little frustrated with the Partner Program. The spiffs weren't as good. You know, there weren't as many advantages as there used to be. Now, that may have changed. I think they've finally fully kind of automated that program, made it full cloud, got, they're bringing in AI into that program. So I would read definitely all the details. And Microsoft puts out, once a month, they do a webinar on their own partner program and what's new and what bonuses you can get and things. So rather than just reading it, I would encourage people to go to that and find out what they might be missing about the partner program that could make it worthwhile.
So I'm gonna come at it from a different angle. I wanted to bring up a really good idea that I've seen some of my clients use to keep their price per seat a little bit lower and more competitive. They're smaller MSPs, but they're not big believers on the partner program and tracking all the licensing. It is a lot of administration and it's a pain in the rear end. They would prefer to just have the client sign up with Microsoft directly for their and pay Microsoft for their licenses. They'll do it for them, but they'll take their credit card and put the information in. So the client is the one paying directly for the licenses. They're managing it as part of the managed services. So that's one creative idea, I think, to keep the per seat down. A lot of people want, you know, to have a high per seat number, and they buy licenses from Pax8. That's a popular one. Most of the bigger, more sophisticated MSPs, I think, buy from the mainstream distribution like TD SYNNEX and Ingram. Mm-hmm. And we've done some price comparisons. And last time we did this, we saw that Ingram and TD SYNNEX was a couple points less expensive than what you would traditionally get from AssureWeb or more specifically Pax8.
Yeah. Yeah. We always used the TD SYNNEX, and we did. We got, you know, 3, 4, 5 points more mm-hmm. than we would get through some of the newer distribution sources. The other thing we got was great advice and assistance from the Microsoft desks at TD SYNNEX, and the other top tier distributors have them as well. Actual Microsoft people there, they could help us out with licensing. The other thing they did is they had a really good portal. It made it relatively easy to switch licenses without the client really noticing. So when our partner program had a spiff, right, they'd be like, oh, you know, we're trying to push business premium and, you know, we're going to give everybody 1 month free. Yep. And we're like, oh, we already have all of our clients on business premium, but we would switch their license to the bonus premium. And we got an extra $20 in our pocket because our client already prepaid for that. And then the spiff thing came on later.
Yeah.
So, so their portal made it really easy to do that. And, you know, in would come the check and all those little things, they make a difference. It helps compensate for that administration piece that you have to do.
Exactly. And there's no more confusing partner program in the world, in my opinion, than Microsoft. So I agree. Yep. And things have changed a lot in the last few years, but I still think it's worth it for the larger MSP that's doing a lot of licenses. I think it's important. And they had done away with like the silver program or the gold program that they used to do years ago. And now it's just designations, training designations, like AI is one or cloud is one. So you could go through the training, get the designation. You've got to get some referrals and hit minimum revenue numbers. But then if you do those things, then you qualify for the rebates, and the rebates can be substantial.
We don't even have to be that large because, you know, I had 8 people in my firm and it was totally worth it. There were some years we made $60,000 off that partner program.
Right.
There were some years we didn't make that much money off it, depending on what was going on with their spiffs. They also awarded us for our silver designation. Mm-hmm. So with the new partner designations, I suspect they're doing the same thing. So you get an extra 2 points if you were a silver partner.
Yeah.
Right. And then that was something that you didn't get if you were direct buy or, you know, some other method.
So Amy, the next topic I had, we've talked a lot about the supply chain challenges, right? All these big AI data centers and then the international conflict right now are 2 primary reasons, but there's creating supply chain challenges for, you know, chips, storage, you know, memory, overall. And with all of the price increases and the supply challenges, what about moving over to a white box or refurbs? What are your thoughts on white boxes or refurbs as an alternative?
I did both. We were a Dell shop for a really long time, and then Dell moved all their manufacturing to Mexico and it got really ugly with shipping. And
yeah.
I had clients that are in the engineering and automotive industries, and they were very sensitive about things moving to Mexico. So we went with a US-based white box. I think they had about 26 distribution offices. So, right, they pre-built some stuff and then you could custom order some things. We loved it. We had a great thing. We did not put our name on it. We left their name on it, you know. But good quality, good warranties. You know, we didn't feel like we were making a compromise at all.
Yeah.
You know, I had a nonprofit that they would have a bunch of interns. We eventually did some terminal server stuff for them. But most people in this nonprofit were very generic office workers, really low stress on the box. So we would get them the refurbs and, you know, save some money for their budget for their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the 1 or 2 people in there that needed more power, we got them the better boxes for that. So right device for the right people is what I go with.
When I was running my company, we offered both options. We were big Dell partners, so we would push Dell, and then HP was a kind of the backup brand. But then, you know, we also had white box solutions and refurbs available for people if they wanted that, you know, as an option. You know, you could get substantial discounts on open box from the manufacturers as well. So I would look at all those options, especially with today's supply challenges. You know, I think that's smart to give your customer options. So,
yeah, I mean, you and I were doing it for, you know, getting the right box to the right person. But today, you may have to make other compromises to just get somebody a box, period.
Right. The margins on the white box solutions typically are a lot higher than what you'll get through mainstream distribution, or if you're buying, you know, Dell Direct or HP from distribution. The white box solutions, typically you make higher margins.
Tales from the Field.
So I got a phone call this past week from a one-on-one client, and he was really upset and fired up. And he's like, hey, I'm sick and tired of this remote work. You know, everybody wants to be virtual. He goes, I'm sick and tired of this. And I said, well, tell me more what's going on. And he said, I'm going to have more of a back to work mandate. I want all my employees back in the office. And kind of my lead engineer was really pushing back on it, saying that his wife, you know, likes it when he works remote. And, you know, I can't keep an eye on him. I don't know what's going on. And he goes, I don't know what to do. You know, should I fire these guys because they don't want to come back in the office? What should we do? Because they've had a work from home policy for a long time. And I said, let's take a look at your utilization reports. You know, if your utilization numbers are really low, then I think you've got a strong case. Or let's take a look at your profitability on your managed service practice and your professional service practice on the service side. Let's take a look at that. And he pulled both reports and we took a look at it, and he was very, very profitable, and his utilization was higher than it had ever been. And I'm like, you know, are you still so upset that you're going to force everybody to come? Why change it? You know, you think kind of old school thought, you think of having your employees in the office, you're going to increase productivity. I think it's going to do the opposite. And Amy, you and I have talked a lot about, you know, the hybrid. I think that's kind of the magical balance. Instead of making everybody be in the office 5 days a week, or they can work remote 5 days a week, I like the hybrid model. But what are your thoughts on that? Because that was an interesting conversation I had.
I love that you immediately went into managerial mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because your description of this guy, he was having an emotional reaction to people working from home.
Yeah.
And he was feeling insecure mm-hmm. about it. I mean, that's the bottom line right there. But your ability, you know, flipping that into a managerial question, right? Let's look at this objectively. Let's look at the numbers. Let's see what's going on. Let, you know, he didn't think he had insight into what that person was doing, but you showed him that he does have insight into what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that he can measure the productivity of that person. It doesn't matter where they are. So if you have good systems in place that are tracking your numbers, and you understand how to utilize those to make good manager decisions, you'll up your comfort level, and you'll be okay with people working from home because you know that they're getting the job done for you.
Yeah. I was hoping it was something along those lines and not that, you know, the owner needed more deodorant or he was wearing bad cologne or something like that. So that would have been really awkward to talk about that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, hey, we've got some fun things coming up. I just wanted to go through a quick list. We've got, I'm speaking at the Reinvent Telecom event in May. So it's next week, May 12th through the 14th in Scottsdale, Arizona. It looks like there's a lot of people signed up for that. So I'm excited about getting out to Scottsdale next week. And then you've got a Zero Trust workshop coming up.
Yep. Starts on May 28th. It's going to run for 3 weeks. So once a week for those three sessions a week apart. And we're going to teach you how to make Zero Trust easy, how to implement it. We're going to use Microsoft's Zero Trust Workshop as the baseline, and they just added an AI pillar to that course.
And then we have the Mastermind coming up. I'm excited about that because it's going to be right in Omaha, Nebraska, right in my own backyard. So that's a 2-day event, July 30th and 31st. And ready for the Dremel? I think Miss Amy Babinchik is going to be there on the agenda as well. So I haven't gotten the full confirmation, but are we a thumbs up, or are you still working on it?
I think we're a thumbs up on that.
All right.
I think it's going to happen. Awesome. I think we're going to be in the same place physically at the same time. No more of this remote work.
Exactly. So I think that's a wrap for today. We got some great things already lined up for next week. So stay tuned in and we'll see everybody back next week.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.